Kaya, Wanchu, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. I usually say that at the start of an episode because it's the important thing to say, but this episode's a little bit different. It is recorded in Nam, Victoria, and it's a review episode from my fellow critic Nadine Whitney, who is reviewing two of the films screening at the upcoming 2025 Alliance Francaise French Film Festival. In the following reviews, Nadine discusses Anne Fontaine's Bolero and Eric Besnard's Miss Violet. For all the festival details and to purchase tickets, visit affrenchfilmfestival.org or visit the link in the show notes. And additionally, if you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, listen to other interviews, read reviews, etc., then visit thecurb.com.au. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. If you can and you have the means to support us, please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to support our work from as little as $1 a month. Here's the trailer for the Alliance Francaise French Film Festival. What an Australian pronunciation there. Followed by Nadine's reviews of Bolero and Miss Violet.
Bonjour, mes amis. This is Nadine Whitney for The Curb, and I am doing a brief rundown on the Alliance Francaise French Film Festival presented by Palace. What you were just listening to was a snippet of Maurice Ravel's very famous Bolero, and it is the basis of a film by Anne Fontaine, which looks into the mysteries of Maurice Ravel and the writing of that particular piece of music for a ballet. Bolero stars Raphael Personnaz as Maurice Ravel, Doria Tillier as Monsieur Sert, Jean Balibar as Ida Rubinstein, and Emmanuel DeVos as Marguerite Long. In the postscript to the film, it's stated that Maurice Ravel's Bolero is played somewhere in the world every 15 minutes. That's how famous that 15-minute piece of music has become. And the film opens with a collage of different versions of the music coming from India, Africa, Mexico, all over the world, Asia. So it is a piece of music that has managed to capture the imagination of the planet. I wish I could say the same for Anne Fontaine's film, which unfortunately is lacking in a particular rhythm. Its syncopation is off, and although it does contain some lovely set pieces, including the very end where Maurice Ravel is in an imagined space conducting the music with an incredible dancer interpreting it, the entire production seems to fall very flat. Partially the reason for this is what Ravel himself describes as a drunken syncopation in the film's structure. The other reason it doesn't quite work is that between five writers, there's a lot of, this is made up. Because trying to know Maurice Ravel through anything but his music and his companionship with other composers and the press is quite difficult. Fontaine's script seems to leave out most other composers he was involved with, including Erik Satie, Claude Debussy, and his teacher and champion, Gabriel Fauré. Instead, concentrating on his relationship with 3 to 4, if you include his mother, key women in his life, according to the film, that is. The Russian-born Cert, played by Doria Tillier, was a legend in Belle Epoque, France. She was painted by people from Renoir to Toulouse-Lautrec. She was taught piano by Armand Fauré. She was married several times. She was a visual artist herself. And she was essentially a queen of the salons at the time. Her friendship with Ravel was lifelong, but what Fontaine has done has turned it into a maudlin, never consummated romance. Maudlin, anxious, and depressed seem to be the main characteristics of Ravel in the film. Beginning in 1903, when Ravel lost the Prix du Rhin for a possibly fifth time, the composer seems to be rarely, if ever, happy. Ida Rubinstein to a factory to explain the mechanical rhythms of Bolero. He appears overwhelmed by the sounds around him, trying to explain to La Rubinstein that the ballet that she is to perform and she has commissioned should be about a ballet mécanique. Rubinstein, who had been previously a dancer with the Ballet Russe, has set up her own production companies, and in 1911 she started with Saint-Sébastien. She was a force in Paris and across Europe. As she's portrayed in Fontaine's film, she is a muscular, overwhelming woman who terrifies for most of the time the poor Ravel. The structure of Fontaine's film is slippery, impressionist almost, if that were not an insult to Ravel himself, who refused to be called an impressionist composer. It slips between past, present, and unfortunately, his death from an as yet unknown brain disease. Some of the staging in the film is quite spectacular, and that is worthwhile indulging in. However, overall, Bolero lacks a strong through line to get to know the composer at all, as if he were not to be known, and reduced to mostly a not so bitter but not so happy man who never quite felt he achieved what he should have, and felt overcome by his contribution to music, which was Bolero, despite having composed several extremely important works. The main flaw of Bolero is that these people were interesting, even if Ravel himself was not a character that you could call particularly strong one way or the other. He certainly caused scandals and knew many people who were part of the Belle Epoque and the early 20th century elite artistic societies. It would have become the film better to have given more time to Ida Rubinstein, to given more time to assert and her amazing salons and her personal achievements. Unfortunately, Anne Fontaine's Bolero does not do this. From great composers to communards, we move to Eric Besnard's Miss Violet. The year is 1889, and Louise Violet, played by Alexandra Lamy, is a Parisian teacher who is on a mission to the French countryside, which looks a lot like Paul Gauguin's Breton Girls Dancing in Pont-Aven from 1888. Louise Violet is in the town to start the Republic's education system, which is free, secular, and compulsory. What she did not anticipate was how much of a pushback she would get from the local farming population to attempt to modernize the education system, because they do not have time for their children to go to school when they are helping on the land that, in essence, has kept the Parisians fed and clothed during the tumultuous years of the First, Second, and Third Republics. Mademoiselle Violette has to face more than just the opposition of the locals. She is seen as secondary because she is a woman. She is seen as too posh because she is from France. And she is seen as suspicious because she can read and write. There is one person who is vaguely on her side, and that is the mother of the local mayor, Joseph, played by Gregory Gadebois. And despite the fact that Joseph sets up Mademoiselle Violet in a barn with a cow where she is to sleep and not only be teacher but also gravedigger and beadle, there is a warming relationship between them. Set over the period of a year, the film makes use of the different seasons to give a sense of the mood of the village and the progression that Miss Violet makes with her students in school. As winter approaches and the cold settles in, Miss Violet waits for students who never arrive. That is until she delivers a local baby and is seen as more of one of the community. She also teaches a very clever young girl called Flore, who is Joseph's charge. And eventually the children begin to come to school and learn. And the town invests, or at least the taxes are invested, in a schoolhouse where they all come together and build for a better future. However, that future is in doubt, certainly when gossip begins to spread and the local workers feel that she is taking away from them their dignity, because if the peasant classes are educated in their mind, they simply cease to exist, as they will leave the areas and go on to something else. Louise Violet also has a secret past, and that is discovered through the local postman reading her letters. Miss Violet is a very well shot, well paced depiction of France in a period of immense change. Alexandra Lamy is excellent as the titular character and is supported by a strong cast. A robust historical drama based on the lives of teachers who went out for the Republic and tried to modernize the education system. It's a wonderful portrait of the seasons in what I assume to be Brittany. It's Miss Violet has mystery, small town intrigue, humor, wonderful juvenile performances, a considered sympathy for both the protagonist and the people of the era, undergoing what is an absolutely massive change in how their lives will be. Miss Violet is one that I thoroughly recommend. 4 stars. For now, I bid you adieu and we'll be back shortly with some more films from the festival.
Thanks for listening to this review episode of the Curb podcast with Nadine talking about two of the films screening at the French Film Festival, which is currently on in Australia. For all tickets, please visit affrenchfilmfestival.org or hit the link in the show notes. And to check out other episodes of the Curb podcast, visit thecurb.com.au. I'll see you on the next one.